Bhagavat Maharaj became an initiated disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Under his tutelage, he learned the science of self-realization originally described in the Vedic literature of ancient India. Bhagavat Maharaj eventually assumed numerous responsibilities related to ISKCON's worldwide organizational efforts. He managed temples in Mumbai, Calcutta, Vrindavan, Nairobi, London, Long Island, and New York City. For several years, he was responsible for coordinating numerous meetings with political dignitaries and entertainment industry leaders to establish educational programs on Krishna consciousness, particularly in India. And what is of most relevance to us is Bhagavat Maharaj is an acclaimed speaker and has been praised for his unique ability to weave the complex philosophical truths of the Vedas with simple modern examples, thus creating an easily accessible and comprehensible subject matter for listeners of all backgrounds and experiences. So let us heartily welcome Shripad Bhagavat Maharaj in a traditional way by loudly chanting Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Thank you. Should I sing Jai Radha Madhava in car talks? In here? Thank you very much for your very kind and warm welcome. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Taksuran Militanyena Sri Gurave Namaha Nama. My most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my divine master Paramaradya Parampujyapad Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaja Ki Jaya. And then I want to offer my most respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who are attending the program today. Dandavat pranam to one and all. So this is my first time downtown Bombay since 1982. The last time I came to downtown Bombay was 1982. It has changed a lot. I was with Srila Prabhupada here in Bombay in the 70s, in Juhu, during the struggles to establish Radharas Bihari Mandir. That time, we lived very simply. There was just a big empty plot of land. In the back, there were some apartments. One apartment was open. Srila Prabhupada lived in that. And we lived in the garden. There was some straw mats. We made straw mats on the floor, straw mats for walls with bamboo poles and straw mats for a roof. And that's where we slept. So it was a great struggle to make Radharasa Bihari Mandir and to preach Krishna consciousness in Bombay. And eventually, of course, Srila Prabhupada was victorious. And this great preaching effort has been spread far and wide throughout this great city. I have been to the temples in Navi Mumbai and Amira Road and now here. And in fact, originally, when Prabhupada came to Mumbai, he started very near to here on Marine Drive. There was some apartment on Marine Drive, and that was where Krishna consciousness first began in Mumbai. So now it has come back full circle to this place. So this is very good. So You have these very beautiful deities here. I came, one of the chief reasons I came is to see these deities. I had seen them on the internet, but I wanted to see them in person. They are very gorgeous. This is Radha Gopinath. Krishna is known as Rasaraj, the king of Ras. He tastes Ras, always tastes Ras. His whole motive for living, his whole motive for existence, everything that he does is predicated on one thing. More greed for Ras, more taste. He wants to enjoy more pleasure. So, once in Vaikuntha, he was thinking, I want to enjoy Viraras. I want to fight. But I am in Vaikuntha, I cannot fight. No fighting allowed in Vaikuntha. So I will have to make some arrangement for fighting. So four Kumaras came to the gate to see Jai and Vijay, and Yogamaya made them confused. And then they told, you naked boys are too young, you cannot come here. So then they got cursed. You have to go to material world. So Vishnu came. They begged excuse to Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan said, okay, you can take three births as demons or seven births as devotees. So Jai and Vijay thought, okay, Lord wants to fight. So we will go as demons, yes, and we will fight. Who else will fight with Narayan except his big gatekeepers? So Jai and Vijay come and Krishna comes. First he comes as Hiranyaksha and he kills. First they come as Hiranyaksha and Varaha comes and kills Hiranyaksha. And then Sringadev comes and kills Hiranyakashipu. So when Sringadev kills Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad is sitting on his lap at the end. And Sringadev is looking at Prahlad and he's thinking, look at him smiling at me. He's got this big smile on his face and his heart is full of love. He's so happy sitting here. He's experiencing some very nice ras. He's looking at me like his real father. What is it like to have father? I don't have father. I came from a pillar. I want to have a father. So in the greed for ras, then Sringadev comes as Vaman. And as Vaman Dev, he has wonderful father, Kashyap and Aditi. They give him so much love and affection. Not only them, but all the demigods. Everybody came and gave Vatsalya Ras to Vamandev. They gave different gifts, belt, umbrella, shawl, so many beads, so many things they gave. So Vamandev got so much Vatsalya Ras, he was very happy. But then he thought, I'm Brahmachari. I have no brothers and sisters, no wife. I'm not enjoying this ras. I want to enjoy those ras also. Well, then he comes as Ram. Oh, now he has three brothers, three mothers, and one wife. And everybody loves Ram. They adore him. He is having so much fun. But after a while, he starts thinking, Lakshman and my brothers, they're always very obedient to me. They do whatever I say. They never argue with me. They always agree. Yes, Ram, what you say, we will do. My mothers, they never scold or chastise me. They all say, yes, Ram, whatever you want. My wife, she never argues with me. Oh, yes, dear, as you like. I want some conflict in my life. So But then he comes as Krishna. Ah. Now Subal is wrestling with him and takes him and throws him on the ground. Ha, I beat you in this wrestling match. Now you have to pick me up on your shoulders and carry me. Yes, Subal. Okay, I'm carrying you now on my shoulders. Can Lakshman do that? No. Lakshman will never do like Subal or Sridham. Huh? Never. Then Mother Yasoda, she catches Krishna by the ear. Hey, you naughty boy, what you are doing, taking yogurt from everyone's house, breaking the pots. I'm taking the stick. I'll beat you. I'll tie your hands. Will Kaushalya do this to Ram? Never. Huh? And then Radhika says, oh, you were supposed to come here before? You have not come? You have been with Chandravali? Okay, don't come see me anymore. Out, out. Will Sita say this? No. Well, like this, Krishna is enjoying some new ras now, huh? Some conflict in his life. He's very happy about this. But, by the by, he's looking at Srimati Radhika and he's thinking, what is it that she's experiencing? I'm looking at her, and her eyes are full of love. What is this love she's experiencing with me? What is it about me that every time she sees me, she's trembling with so much happiness? And why is it that she is always in so much ecstasy? What is the ecstasy she's tasting? I am not tasting these things, this love, this ecstasy. And I have no idea what it is about me that is so sweet that she's constantly thinking about me. After all, sugar cannot taste itself. So he starts thinking, I want to be in her mood. I want to taste this ras. Now he is driven to become Mahaprabhu. Then he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, while he was living in Braj, there was some very special pastime that took place in which Krishna became Gaur. This was the beginning of his experience of being Gaur, of being one with Radha again. Actually, Radha and Krishna are one, but they separate for pastimes. But then this mood of Gaur comes. So how it came, there is some very special pastime in Varaha Samhita, it is explained. In that pastime, it is described by Varaha to Dharini that there is a great banyan tree on the banks of Yamuna. So big, almost 1 mile in circumference, with a large platform underneath. And the banks of Yamuna are rushing by on the side. One can hear the waves of the Yamuna River, smell the sweet fragrances and from the breezes coming from the river, fragrances of the different flowers. And there, one night, Varaha explains that Krishna danced with crores of gopis. Danced in such a way. First going to Radhika, then another gopi. Then Radhika, then another gopi. Then Radhika, then another gopi. Like this, back and forth. Then Radhika was looking at him and she's thinking, why he's giving the same affection to all the other gopis that he's giving to me? After all, I am Radhika. I should get more affection. But he's not giving me? Why? Okay. So then when Krishna leaves, he goes to the next gopi, she sees again he's doing that, she leaves. She leaves and she goes and hides in a secret kunj. Now Krishna is thinking, what she is doing? Where's Radhika? Radhika is not here. So he becomes very nervous. He's looking here and there amongst all the gopis. He cannot find her. Then he starts to run. He starts to run and he goes and he starts shouting, Kothai go prema mai Radhe Radhe. Where is she? Radhe, who is full of praying. Where is she? Radhe Radhe, Kothai Radhe Radhe. Where is Radhe, my glorious Radhe? Without her, what I will do? Deka diya prano rako Radhe Radhe. If I don't meet her soon, my life airs will come out. I will die. To mara kangala to maya dake Radhe Radhe. Oh, you who are full of praying, oh my dear Radhe, please come quickly before I lose my life. Like this, he's calling to her. Then he starts calling her by different names. Vrindavana Vilasini, calls her the queen of Vrindavan. Radhe, Radhe, oh Vrindavana Vilasini, Radhe, you please come. Thinking, oh, if I call her the queen of Vrindavan, she will come. Kanu Manu Mohini, oh, you who are attracting my mind, oh, is you please come quickly. But she's not coming. Asta Sakka Shiromani Radhe Radhe. Oh, you who are the crown jewel of the Astasakis, the eight different gopis, you please come. But she was not coming. Vrishabhanu Nandini Radhe Radhe. If I will call her as the son of Vrishabhanu, who is so merciful, oh, then her daya will come out, her mercy will come out, then she will surely come to see me. But Radhe did not come. So then he started going here and there, here and there. Ekbar dake niduvane, arba dake govardane, from Niduvan to Govardhan. Ekbar dake vamshivata, arba dake keshigata, first vamshivata, then keshigat, here, there. Ek bar dake radha kunde, arba dake shama kunde. Well, everywhere he was going, Tamalvan, Niduvan, everywhere. Oh Radhe, oh Radhe, oh Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Where are you? But she would not come. She was in Man, jealous anger. Well, then he goes to this Imli Tala tree. There's one big Imli Tala tree that is there near to Kaliyagat, not too far from Madan Mohan and Kaliyagat. You'll see that Imli Tala. So sitting under that Imli Tala tree, he begins weeping. Radha Mantram Japan Dhyayan. He starts reciting one mantra of Radhika. And reciting the mantra of Radhika's name over and over and over again. Radha Sarvasya Pashyati. He starts to see Radhika everywhere. Wherever he looks, Radhika's form is there. And becoming absorbed in Radhika in this mood, His sham becomes sona, gora, and he becomes golden. Becoming golden like this, and being in this deep mood of separation from Radhika, in that kunj where she was hiding, her heart became somewhat broken. Then her jealous man was broken. Then she began weeping, oh, sham, sham, sham. And running, running, she went to that Imlitala tree and embraced Krishna in a very special way, in which every limb of her body embraced every limb of sham in such a special way. And then the two became one, sambhog. And he became completely gore. This happened under this Imlitala tree. So later, when Krishna comes as Mahaprabhu and he's there in Jagannath Puri, he wants to go to Braj. So Gadadhar Pandit wants to go with him. Now Gadadhar Pandit is the incarnation of Srimati Radhika. So someone may ask, if Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna, then why Radha has to come separately as Gadadhar Pandit? What is the purpose of that? So, the answer is that Krishna needed training to be in the mood of Radhika. So he took on the mood, but he did not understand how the mood worked. So Radhika had to come as Gadadhar Pandit, and she had to train him. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he is sitting on the asana one day, and he is reciting verses. Mahaprabhu is reciting verses from Bhagavatam. Then Gadadhar Pandit comes up behind him, whispers in his ear, this is not the way to recite that verse. This is not the right mood. This is the mood. And then Gadadhar starts reciting the verse in the ear of Mahaprabhu. Oh, that mood. Okay, now I understand. In this way, she was training him. And in Puri, Mahaprabhu was sitting with Gadadhar Pandit on the beach one day and some other devotees, and he started to take his hand and go in a circle on the sand, and like this, and like this, and like this, and then the head, the crown of a beautiful blackish deity came. It was Gopinath. Then the devotees dug out that murti from the sand. Mahaprabhu told Gadadhar, this is my heart, Gopinath, this is me. You please worship Gopinath every day. So then Gadadhar Pandit worshipped this deity of Gopinath. And in front of the temple where he was worshipping the deity was a large platform under a tree, banyan tree. And on that platform every morning, Gadadhar Pandit would recite the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Venu Geet, Gopi Geet, all the different Geets, Brahmar Geet. And Mahaprabhu would come and listen. Yes. What is the mood of Radhika? I want to know. I want to hear. And Gadadhar Pandit would recite these verses in beautiful melodies and weep and weep and weep. So in this way, they relish the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Gadadhar Pandit trained Mahaprabhu. So when he came to a certain level of training, then he wanted to strengthen his gore. So he wanted to go to Braj. He wanted to sit under that tree where he sat that night. But Gadadhar Pandit wanted to come with him. No, I want to come with you. I want to go to Braj. No, 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 you can't go. Because if Gadadhar Pandit will go with him to Braj, then Mahaprabhu, he will start seeing him as Radharani, then he will become confused. So he orders him, no, you have taken Kshetra Sannyas. You have to stay here and worship Gopinath. You cannot leave. And when they get to the edge of the Sri Kshetra Dham in Cuttack, by the banks of the Mahanadi River, Mahaprabhu gets in the boat and starts to cross the river and orders Gadadhar Pandit to stay there. And Gadadhar Pandit, grabbing his head, he begins to tremble and faint on the ground in separation from Mahaprabhu. And then when Mahaprabhu gets to Braj, he goes to that Imlitala tree, and sitting under that tree, he imbibes the mood of that night and nourishes his gore. And he becomes full of the bhav of Srimati Radhika. So driven by this ras, Krishna is coming. Krishna is acting. Always to taste ras. He wants to taste more and more. He has greed, lobha. Greed for tasting ras. If we want to develop our bhakti, we also have to develop this greed. That greed is there in Krishna. That means in some minute particle it is there in us. The greed to taste ras is also with us. But we have become illusioned. In this material body, we are trying to enjoy the wrong ras. We are thinking, yes, I have my wife, I have my children, I have my family, I have my friends, I have my job, I have so much ras. But every day, some problem is coming. So many problems. Problems come, and conflict comes, because we have material expectations. Every day, the wife, she is trying to be very good to her husband. Well, she is working very hard, cleaning, cooking, making everything nice, working at her job, whatever she's doing. And she's thinking, when my husband comes home tonight, I have so much to talk to him about. Many things I want to discuss with him. And husband, he is working very hard at a bank or stock market or factory or wherever he is working very hard, and he's thinking, oh, this has been such a hard day. All day long shouting orders at this one, that one, doing this, doing that, so many things, so many things. I'm so tired. When I go home, I don't want to talk to anyone. I want to sit on the couch and watch the television. Husband comes home, he sits down, wife comes home. Oh, I have so many things to talk to you about. Don't bother me now, I'm tired. Then argument begins. Because everyone has expectations. We have expectation. Wife is expecting husband to behave certain way. Husband is expecting wife to behave certain way. Parents are expecting children to behave certain way. Children are expecting parents to behave certain way. And so conflict is coming. So much conflict. So, we want happiness. We are pleasure-seeking persons. Our nature is to enjoy pleasure. Why? Because Krishna is always enjoying pleasure. Prabhupada gave one lecture one time. He said, just see Krishna. He wakes up early in the morning. Mother Yasoda bathes him. She picks him up. Oh, my Lala, how are you, my sweetie? She gives him breast milk. She gives him ladus. She combs his hair. She bathes him. She dresses him very nicely. Sends him to the forest with the Balaram and all the cowherd boys. There with the Balaram and cowherd boys, he's running here and there. Madhu Mangal, he loves the sweets. So Sridham, he goes and he steals Madhu's sweets and throws them to Subal. Subal throws them to Raktak, Raktak to Patrak, like this, the sweets are going around, and Madhu Mangal is running here and there. Hey, hey, what you are doing? What you are doing? My sweets. So Krishna is just having fun, huh? Wrestling. One time he was wrestling with Sridham, and they are arguing. Oh, I put you down, or you put me down, like this. Meanwhile, at the distance, Durvasa was sitting there looking at them, thinking, my God, the Supreme Brahman has come as a little boy, and is looking like this, and he goes into trance. So Krishna and Sridham and the others run over. They say, okay, this Baba, he must know who won the wrestling match. We'll ask him. So Krishna sits on one knee and Sridham on the other. Hey, Baba, did you see us over there wrestling? Who won that match? And Durvasa is in trance. So they start pulling on his beard. Hey, Baba, what you are doing? Come on. Who won the wrestling match? No. He's just lost. Oh, he doesn't know anything. He's a Muni Baba. We will leave him. So like this, they're having fun. They're enjoying. Krishna is always having fun. Fun with the gopis. One time, Krishna and the coward boys are on one side, gopis on the other. They have a dice match, throwing dice. And they're making bets. So, Radhika says, I want you to bet your flute. You have to bet your flute. Bet my flute? My flute, my dearest thing, my flute. You want me to bet my flute? Yes, yes, you have to bet your flute. Okay, I will put my flute up for wager, but you have to put your dearest sake up for wager. Oh, okay. Okay, 1 minute, 1 minute, Radhika. 1 minute. Then she calls Lalita and Visakha over. Then they run, and they get this Pulinda girl. This Pulinda girl, they are Aborigines. They travel from village to village. They make crafts. They do, men collect wood. The ladies make crafts. They sell them. Then they go from place to place. So Radhika knew those Pulindas are staying there. She told Lalita, go get that Pulinda girl. Bring her here. Put sari on her, everything. Okay. So then they bring her. So she's just a young girl, maybe 13, 14, 15, like that. She doesn't know anything. They pull her over and they sit her down. And she sits down and she looks at Krishna and she's like this. Who is this, Krishna? I have never seen. So she's completely mesmerized. So then Radhika says to Krishna, okay, you bet your flute, I'm betting my dear Mosaki, this girl here. Krishna says, you think I am fool number one? This is not your dear Mosaki. I know what is going on here. You are cheating me. Not allowed to cheat. So like this, Krishna and gopis, gopis, and everyone having fun, all day fun. Then Prabhupada, he was describing so many things, and then he said, Krishna is not getting up in the morning and getting into the car or the train and driving for 2 or 3 hours to go to the factory to work hard all day. He's just having fun. He's just enjoying pleasure. And because we are a small part of Krishna, we want to enjoy pleasure also. But we have come into this material body and we are confused. We think that the pleasure is coming here, but the pleasure is not here. The pleasure is there. But we have to get greed for that. We have to get desire for that. We have to know what is our goal. How many people here are chanting japa? You're chanting Hare Krishna japa? Who's chanting? Raise your hand. So many. Everyone. All devotees. So when you're chanting your japa every day, what are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? What are you desiring? You have to know your goal. When you go to college, they ask you, okay, what is your major? It is not that one year you will do engineering, another year medicine, another year commerce. You have to know where you're going. Otherwise, how can you practice the business of being student? If you're going to practice the art of being a student, then you have to know what your goal of your studies is, isn't it? So you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you are studying Bhagavad Gita, you are chanting japa, you are going to the programs, but what is your goal? Where are you going? What is it that you want? You want to be happy. You want love and happiness. Everyone wants love and happiness. But real love and real happiness is there in the spiritual world. Real love and real happiness is in Braj. In Vaikuntha, you will have to stand around and blow trumpets and you'll have to say, Jai Narayan, Jai Narayan, Jai Narayan. You'll be happy, but after a while, it may get boring. Aishwarya, awe and reverence, is not as tasty as the intimacy of Braj. The intimacy of Braj is full of ras. This is the ras that Krishna really enjoys. This is what he's looking forward to. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna says, if you worship me with thousands of Ashwamedha yagyas and other rituals, I will not be as happy as just a simple exchange of love with the cowherd boys or cowherd girls of Braj. That gives me more pleasure than all the rituals and prayers of the Vedas. So what Krishna really wants is this. He wants you to love him in a very intimate way. He wants that. He wants you. All of you. Everybody. The whole universe. Vasudev Dutt. He prayed like that. Mahaprabhu, I want you to liberate the whole universe. I will stay here. I will take everyone's sins, all their paps, all their aparads. I will stay in hell for eternity. You liberate everyone and send them to Goloka. Mahaprabhu told, you are so sweet devotee. Okay, for your request, I will liberate everyone. But you don't have to stay here. I will take you also. So Krishna wants everyone. Why? Because his devotees want. That's why his devotees come. That's why his devotees sacrifice so much. They sacrifice so much because they know our real happiness is to be there with Krishna. And because they want you to be happy, then Krishna also wants you to be happy. Krishna wants you to have love. Krishna wants you to have happiness. He wants you to be with him in the groves of Vrindavan, dancing and singing and playing. He wants that very much. That is his heart's desire. But you have to want it as much as he wants it to be there. You have to want it. You have to have lobe. You have to have greed. You have to have greed for the service. You have to have a specific mood. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains this very, very simply. The tendency to give pleasure to Krishna is bhakti. The tendency to give pleasure to Krishna is bhakti. It's not about you going there to have pleasure. It's about you going there to give him pleasure. In other words, the whole goal is to give Krishna pleasure. This is the goal. This is the purpose. This should be your greed. Your greed should only be this. How can I give pleasure to Krishna? How can I satisfy Krishna? How can I make him happy? In the Gopi Geet, there's one song. Gopis are crying in separation. That everyone in Braj is happy but us, because you called us with your flute and we have come here, and then you left us. And we are dying for you to come. We want you to come back. We are in so much agony and pain in separation from you. We are about to die. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying in the commentary, he is giving inner dialogue. So he says that Krishna asked the gopis, well, if anyone was in this much separation and pain as you are, they would be dead already. Why have you not died? Gopis say, because you have made this arrangement of our separation because it gives you pleasure to see us sing these songs in separation from you. And because our pain of separation is giving you pleasure, therefore we cannot die, because then your pleasure will stop. This is the extent you have to go to give pleasure to Krishna. This extent. When you have that much greed to give Krishna pleasure, then you can come and join him. Then he will make all the arrangements. He will send someone to get you and to bring you by the hand to that place. Just like Bilva Mangal Thakur. You know the story of Surdas? Surdas, he used to go see this prostitute. He was a Brahmin, but he used to go see this prostitute. So he had a lot of lust. But the prostitute, she was a bhakta. She knew, by some karma, I have had to take birth as prostitute. But when she was not, even when she was doing prostitute, whatever she was doing, whole time she is chanting Krishna, 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 Krishna. Only she is thinking Krishna. Night and day. And the Surdas is only thinking prostitute, prostitute, prostitute. He is a Brahmin and she is from low-class family, but she is thinking Krishna and he is thinking prostitute. So on the night of his father's death, there was a big thunderstorm. And he was supposed to take care of all the arrangements. In the middle of all of this, his urge for her became so intense, he left the house from the funeral ceremony. Walking in the severe torrential rains and thunderstorm, he comes to the bank of the river. And there he's trying to cross the river, which is swirling very harshly in the storm. So he sees one large object coming. He thinks, oh, there's a log. I can grab onto this log and go across. So he grabs on. He goes across. When he gets to the other side, he realizes, oh my God, it's a dead body. Then he climbs out from the river. And he has to go through all the thorns and bushes. And then he comes to the house and he tries to get in the front door and he cannot get, door is locked. So then he comes around the side and he sees the light on in her bedroom window, so he grabs onto what he thinks is a vine and he climbs up and he climbs up and he climbs up and he gets to the top and he's on the balcony and it's a big snake that he was climbing on. So then somehow he gets over the side, he's in the balcony and he pushes the door open. He comes in the room and she sees him and she says, my God, what are you doing? Well, Surdas tells her this whole adventure, how he has come. And she said, you poor boy, if you had this much desire for Krishna, you would be a Shuddha Bhakta. And because she was such a great devotee, simply by hearing those words from her, he immediately gave up all of his lust and he was elevated to the platform of spontaneous devotional service, Raganuga Marg. And with great desire, he left her house. He never even went back home. He just started going directly to Vrindavan. And on the way to Vrindavan, chanting and glorifying Krishna, he became absorbed in higher and higher levels of bhakti. Then by chance, he saw one very beautiful young woman collecting water from the well. And when he saw her, for one split second, he thought, I would like to enjoy her. Then he thought, my God, I was so absorbed in Krishna, and by seeing this woman for one second, my mind got disturbed. So he went to that woman and he said, Mother, that pin in your hair, can I have it, please? She gave him that pin. He took it and he pulled out his eyes. He said, what are the use of these eyes? If these eyes distract me from meditating on Krishna. Pulling them out, he began to walk in complete confusion, trying to go to Braj. Then one young boy came. Oh, Baba, where you are going? I'm trying to go to Vrindavan. I'm also going to Vrindavan. Oh, you are going to Vrindavan. Why? So I'm a cowherd boy. Oh, you're a cowherd boy. Yes, yes, I'm a cowherd boy. I'm going to Vrindavan to see the cows. Really? Can you help me? Yes, yes, I will take you, Baba. I will take you to Vrindavan. But you have to sing those songs for me. I heard you singing some songs. Those songs you are singing about Krishna and Vrindavan, I want you to sing them. So Surdas would sing every day, and that cowherd boy Krishna would sit there like this, listen to those songs. Then he'd say, okay, Baba, now I'm taking you. Come on, we'll walk some. And Krishna personally took him to Braj. So Krishna will come. He will come, he will send the spiritual master, he will send the pure devotee, he will send great personalities to take you by the hand. But you have to have greed. You have to be able to pull out your eyes and refuse to die in separation in order to give Krishna pleasure. You have to be that intense. That's in the intensity of greed you require in order to attract Krishna. When you get that much greed to give pleasure to Krishna at the expense of your own happiness, no matter what it takes, if I have to take out my eyes, if I have to suffer, whatever ever has to happen to me, it does not matter, I'll accept. As long as I can do one thing, give pleasure to Krishna. When you get that kind of greed, oh, then Krishna will make all the arrangements. You don't have to think about anything. Nothing is required. So the first steps for this is to take up Sharanagati. Do you know what is Sharanagati? There are six steps to Sharanagati. You have to accept everything that is favorable for your bhakti, and you have to reject everything that is unfavorable. These are the first two things. But how can you do that? How can you do that when you're constantly plagued with six negative emotions? Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya, mada. These six negative emotions plague you. So therefore, Sharanagati requests that the first thing is you should become dainya, very, very humble. You should accept Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtanaya Sadahari. You should accept this. Jiva Goswami gives one explanation about this verse. He says, actually, the Trinadapi that Mahaprabhu is trying to describe is so minuscule, so atomic in size, that it cannot be comprehended. So he gives you a frame of reference. He says, lower than this blade of grass. He said, just like if you want to see some small stars in the universe, that first you will have to fix your gaze on Antares, because Antares is more easily visible. And then after seeing Antares, then you can track the other smaller stars around it. But once you can at least understand this concept, blade of grass, people walk on the grass, spit on the grass, dogs pass stool on the grass, pass urine on the grass. Grass, simply lowest thing. Mahaprabhu says, below that, that's where I want you to be. This is Dainya. Underneath that, below this level of allowing everyone to walk on you, spit on you, pass stool on you, and pass urine on you, below that, that level of Dainya, humility, I want. If you have that level, oh, then you will always be able to sing my name. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Then you will accept that Krishna is always my protector. No matter what happens, Krishna will protect me. I will not need my cell phone. My cell phone cannot protect me. Krishna will protect me. Krishna will protect me, and Krishna will maintain me. Just like the Goswamis. Wherever Goswamis went, Krishna was always protecting them. Krishna was always maintaining them. They never had to worry about anything. So like this, you have to get this mood. Krishna is my maintainer. Krishna is my protector. I'm lower than the straw on the street, lower than the blade of grass. Therefore, Atmanivedana, I surrender completely unto the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna and beg that please give me some greed to give you pleasure. Just let me wake up one morning and not think about my own senses. Think about my own desires. Think about my own pleasure. Gopis wake up in the morning, the first thing they think about is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Where is Krishna? Is he eaten? Has he slept nicely? Is he okay? Gopis think like this, 24/7. Where is Krishna and what does he need? And can I give him more? We wake up and we are thinking only about ourselves and our family and our friends and our job and our life. But the gopis never think of anything for themselves. You know the story of Krishna's headache, right? How gopis immediately, yes, take all the dust. But Narada said, but you will go to hell. Yes, we can go to hell, no problem. Take the dust. Here, give to Krishna. This kind of mood, nothing for me, expect nothing, no expectations. I expect nothing, I give everything to Krishna. This kind of greed is required. Then you can go there. Then you can go to that place. Then you can be with Krishna. So this is the goal. The goal is to be in the pleasure goals of Vrindavan, but not for your pleasure, for his pleasure. The goal is to give pleasure to Krishna. The tendency to give pleasure to Krishna is bhakti. So this is what your greed is for nothing else. Not to be in Braj, not to be a gopi or this or that or anything, not to be anything, to do one thing, give pleasure to Krishna according to his desire, whatever it may be. And that will be given to you by your guru. Guru knows how to give pleasure to Krishna because Nikunjayuno Ratikali Sida, he is always making tasteful arrangements to give pleasure to Krishna. He knows. He knows how to give pleasure to Krishna. And you can learn the art from him by his association. This is the way, this is the path for understanding how to give pleasure to Krishna, by associating with those who are already giving pleasure to Krishna. It's a simple process. You become an accountant by associating with other accountants, first in the school and then in the business. You become a doctor by associating with other doctors. It's a very simple process. If you want to become a person who can give pleasure to Krishna, you must associate with someone who is always giving pleasure to Krishna. And then you will get the idea of how it works. And even one molecular drop of the happiness of giving pleasure to Krishna for 1/1,000,000,000th of a second is greater than all the pleasure you'll ever experience in 1,000,000,000 births in the material world. Therefore, you should follow the instructions of Plato. Life is short. Pray hard. You have to pray hard. Krishna, please teach me how to give you pleasure. What is the meaning of giving you pleasure? How can I stop thinking of my own senses? How can I do it? You have to pray like this. Then Krishna will enlighten you. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. I teach them how they can come close to me. Jnana dipena bhashvata, I make a light in their heart by which they can see the path for giving me pleasure. I teach them that. So, I was supposed to speak till 2:30. There is 10 minutes. Do you have any questions? Anybody wants to ask question? I should give chance for question. Anyone? My realization is that I am not a devotee. I am just trying to be a devotee. I am trying to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. This is what I want. This is what I'm trying to do. This is all I realize. That I have no qualifications. I have no good qualities. I have no abilities. I have no talents. I have nothing. But I am trying somehow every day to become the servant of the servant of the servant, to understand my position, because I am very, very far from Krishna. Anybody else? Ekalavya.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very enlivening class, Maharaj. My question is regarding the worship of Lord Nityananda. That Srila Prabhupada introduced the worship of Gaurini Thai.
Yes.
So what is the role of Lord Nityananda and our means of worship to give pleasure to Krishna?
Yes. That Lord Nityananda is the incarnation of Balaram. Balaram is a Kanda Guru, the root of all Guru. Why? Because Balaram tastes all the rasas. Balaram, he is the one, first expansion of Krishna. He is Krishna, but he's white. He produces the Chintamani Dham, all of the paraphernalia of Goloka. The cows, the trees, the sand, the rivers, the banks, everything, all the things, the buffalo horn, the flute, all of those things that serve Krishna in Shantaras, they are Balaram. So Balaram tastes Shantaras. Balaram becomes Anantashesh, the bed for Narayan to lie on. Huh? Balaram tes dasyaras. Balaram is the cowherd boyfriend of Krishna. He's in Sakyaras. Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna. He's in Vatsalyaras. And Balaram, just as Krishna expands into Radhika, Balaram expands into Radhika's younger sister, Ananga Manjari. And Ananga Manjari, she has a special position because there are two classes of gopis. There's one class of gopis who want to directly give pleasure to Krishna. And there is another class of gopis called Manjaris who want to bring Radhika to Krishna, knowing that Krishna is never completely satisfied unless he's with Radhika. And so they enjoy the service of arranging for Radhika to enjoy with Krishna. And that is their happiness. And they are called Manjaris. They never want to go to Krishna directly. Ananga Manjari has both moods. And in the Sangam between Radhakund and Shyamakund, she has her kunj. And she is in both Gopi Bhav and Manjari Bhav. So all rasas are tasted by Balaram. Therefore, whatever rasa the jiva is in, whether it's Shantaras or Manjari Ras, it will come through Balaram as guru, Nityananda. Nityananda is the one who comes to establish this Akanda Guru Tattva for all living entities. It is by his mercy only that you can come to Mahaprabhu and taste the prem that Mahaprabhu is distributing. Raghunath Das, he tried to taste the prem without Nityananda, but he could not. His father kept sending the soldiers to pull him back from Puri again and again and again. And finally he went to Lord Nityananda and got Lord Nityananda's foot on his head. And then he did service to Lord Nityananda by serving all the Vaishnavas at the order of Lord Nityananda with prasad. So, when you come in association with that sadhu who is the representative of Lord Nityananda and you want his foot on your head, then you have to serve him by serving all the Vaishnavas, by becoming dasanu 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 das. You know the story of Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda going to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Gadadhar Pandit was very, very austere, very renounced. He never tasted any sense gratification. He only gave pleasure to Krishna. And one of his greatest happinesses was to hear Harikatha from great devotees. He loved to hear pastimes of Krishna from exalted devotees. But Mahaprabhu knew he wanted to teach some special lesson through Gadadhar. Not that Gadadhar was in any kind of illusion because he's Radharani. But under the auspices of Yogamaya, Gadadhar Pandit was thinking great Vaishnava means like me, austere. So Mukunda one day came to Gadadhar and told, "Hey, I know one great Vaishnava who can speak very sweet Harikatha, very nice pastimes of Krishna. Would you like to hear?" Gadadhar said, "Yes, yes, I want to go." So he goes. So he comes to the house of this man. House, palace. The whole place was built of marble. Marble floors, and all the marble was polished so you could see your face. Jewels everywhere. He comes into the room. And there Pundarik Vidyanidhi is sitting on a big cushion, bigger than this, with the silk and very nice embroidery and tapestry, big mustache and very nicely coiffed hair. Silk clothes with gold buttons and jewels in the buttons. And everything gold, gold bowls for fruit, gold glasses for drinking, gold pitchers with water, ladies fanning him, feeding him fruit, even the spittoon, gold. So Gadadhar Pandit is looking at him thinking, this is the great Vaishnav who will speak Hari Katha. This Vishayi, this is a person who is enjoying all these pleasures with ladies and fruits and gold and diamonds and marble. He is the great Vaishnav who speaks Hari Katha. He's thinking only in his mind, thinking. He won't say anything. He's very humble, but thinking. Mukunda knows, oh, you are thinking. I know what you are thinking. So Mukunda starts singing some verses from Bhagavatam. And when he sings these verses from Bhagavatam, immediately Pundarik Vidyaniti displays all of the symptoms of Astasattvik Bhav. Tearing his clothes at the breast, knocking over all of the bowls of fruit and water and juice, and rolling on the asana here and there, crying, screaming, trembling, roaring, showing all the symptoms of Astasattvik Bhav. And Gadadhar nearly faints. Oh, I've committed great aparadha in my mind. Oh, big mistake. Then, when everything calms down, he goes to the feet of Pundarik Vidyaniti and says, I have committed aparadha. I have misunderstood who you are. I have thought of you ill. The only thing is I have to beg your forgiveness and beg that you please initiate me and become my guru. And so Pundarik Vidyaniti gives initiation to Gadadhar Pandit and becomes his guru. Of course, Pundarik Vidyaniti is Radharani's father, Vishubhanu Nanda, Vishubhanu. So in this way, he initiates him. But what is the lesson to learn from this? Some special lesson is there. That the God brother showed the way to Gadadhar. Try to see your guru in your God brothers and God sisters. Every day they can teach you a very valuable lesson in love, affection, compassion, humility, surrender. Every day you can learn something from your God brothers and God sisters. Try to see them there. Try to hear them. Try to serve them. By serving them, you will be serving your guru. You will be serving Lord Nityananda. Then they will come and put their foot on your head. Then you will get the blessing. Then, Srila Saraswati Thakur says, by the mercy of Nityananda, you will get the mercies of Rupa and Rati Manjari. If you want the mercy of the gopas and gopis of Braj, you first have to get the mercy of Nityananda. You first have to get the mercy of your guru. You first have to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, your God brothers and God sisters. Everywhere you go for mercy. Serve the feet of all. This is dainya. This is humility. This is another way to understand Sharanagati. Thank you for your beautiful question. Any more question? Yes.
What one should do to remain in Krishna consciousness during conflicts?
Yes. How to remain Krishna conscious during conflict? I had one God brother who told me a very interesting story one time. He was in Delhi trying to get to the airport in the car, in the auto rickshaw. So there was a big strike on. Bund. 1 mile long, people marching with placards. Zinzabad, Zinzabad, Zinzabad. Huh? So that big line was in between the rickshaw and the airport. So when the rickshaw came up there, all the people yelling at him, "Hey, this is a worker strike. You're a worker. Should be marching. What you are doing? Carrying the sahib to the airport. Get out from your car and go walk with us now. Stop. Don't take him." So the devotee started thinking how to resolve this issue. So he went up to the line of marchers and he got on his hands and knees and he offered obeisances to them. Then they all came and grabbed him. "Bah, don't do that, don't do that. Why are you doing this?" "I respect your line. I respect what you are doing. But I have to go to airport. Can you please help me?" "Sure, sure, yes, you can go." Get in. So if one man can change the heart of 1,000 men on the line just by being a little humble, so how you can do that in your own home with your wife, your parents, your children, your friends, your family? If you give obeisance and you give love and you give affection and you beg apology, then all will be forgotten quickly and conflict will evaporate. Is that okay? Sing a little kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.